I just looked at her foot, and there's this huge place where they've cut, and my heart just went out to her, and I said, well, Lord, even if there's stuff that the doctors have messed up, and they do know how to mess things up, we pray that you'll set it all right. Are you glad to be here this morning, church? Are you enjoying the service? I hope our visitors are enjoying the service. We get a little bit over the top. But we are so serious about our walk with the Lord. We're serious about what God is doing. We've gone beyond playing church and church for tradition and church because that is what you do on a Sunday. It cannot be like that anymore. That's not who we are. Let me put this thing down. I don't need it. My name's not Jensen Franklin. It's Keith Williams. We've just gone beyond that. And I believe it's the Lord that's taking us there. He's taking us to a new place. And he's building this church, and he's building this congregation up. And I believe there's a revival that is coming. If you listen to preachers preaching elsewhere, they talk about a revival that is happening now. The things I spoke to you about is not so that you can say, oh, our pastor did this. No, it's because God is busy moving. And I want you to understand that in your own personal capacity, God can move in your life and change your life and change the lives of people around you. And all of a sudden, Christianity is a reality. Because as you know, right now, Christianity has come under huge attack. And young people particularly, they're looking for reality. They're looking for, they don't want us to bring just tradition and rules. And they want to see, who is this Christ? And what change is he making in our lives? And how can we see where he's working? How do we, I tell my friend who's involved in the occult, you know, remember Moses threw the stick down and became a snake. And the wizards did the same thing. And that's what our children are facing. That's what you might be chasing. The occult is real. They can do fake stuff. There's a form of power, of supernatural. It is supernatural because the war is in the spiritual realm. But remember, the snake that Moses threw down ate all the other snakes. And when he picked it up, it became a stick again. But the wizards couldn't do that because their snakes were gone. And we need to show people the reality of Jesus. We did it on the street yesterday. We're going to be doing it over the city. I honestly believe that God is going to bring a change in the city. Amen. And it can start here. I am so intimidated by what I felt the Lord has showed me to do here. So church, I'm going to just pray that you'll, as you supported yesterday, what we did yesterday, and thank you again to those who came. Thank you to those who sat in the pre-meeting this morning. I see a change happening in the church. There's a hunger. And this is going to be part of it. Not a Christian heritage thing, a Christian thing in this city. It's time the Christians, you know what, the Christians have said nothing. I don't think any Christians have stood up and said anything, have anything to say about what happened here and what's taking. It's time we stood up. It's time we stood up, church. There's one more announcement that needs to be made, and I'm taking of my preaching time. I see Cheryl Turner sitting at the back there. Maybe just stand up if you don't mind, Cheryl, so people can see who you are. Thanks, Cheryl. Cheryl is involved in our missions, in the Pentecostal Holiness missions in Africa, travels the whole world, has a great experience, and been in mission work, and I think the Lord has used her quite a lot in teaching and in clinic work and so on, and in various other areas. So she approached us the other day with something that I totally agreed with. As a church, we're a church, we say it in our mission statement, we want to be a church of irresistible influence. In other words, a church that's making an impact in the world that we live in. One of those ways is to present services to our community. All right, so we've done various things. We've given money, we've given food, we've given clothing, we've gone on the streets, we pray, we encourage people, we support. Not always financially, but often we support different of the, I don't want to call them shelters, but places of help where people will go. Tower of Life, Cradle of Hope, Polokeho, Ikusasa, there's some of the young men from Ikusasa. We try and get involved in our community. One of the things we want to do, and I believe the Lord stirred it up, is this area that we're living in, and particularly for our church. Those of you sitting here today, this is not going to be for a queue of people from the outside that are not involved in the church. But we want to offer as a service to the people in this church remedial teaching. one day a week. In other words, if there's a child that's battling with maths or battling with reading or battling with something in school, and you really can't afford to send your child to somewhere that you're going to have to pay for it, we will offer that service here at the church once a week on a Wednesday afternoon, and I've already from 2 to 4. Cheryl's put her hand up. My wife Cheryl's put her hand up. And if you remember, a few weeks ago, I sent up a WhatsApp and I asked who would like to get involved. And some of you replied to me. And I can tell you that WhatsApp is so far gone in my WhatsApp that please just come and remind me. So if you're available to help. Now, you don't have to be a teacher. Maybe you can just read well. You can help a child learn to read. Maybe you're an Afrikaans-speaking person that can help maybe a child that speaks Tswana or Tutu or Zulu at home that's battling with language. Maybe you're good at maths. Initially, we're going to just do it for primary school children, but I believe it's going to grow. And we'll have I don't even know what we're going to call it. We're going to have to find a good name for it, but it's going to be a remedial help center, and it's going to be offered to people that regularly attend this church. So it's not open to everybody. So even while I say it's a community service, it's going to start. So if you're sitting here and somebody in your family needs help, you come and speak to us. You saw Cheryl who stood up. You see me here. You know who my wife is. She's in the children's church this morning. Come and talk to us. Church, we're going to do this. And let's see what else the Lord's going to do. Let's see what else He's going to do. Because this church is going to be on fire and making a difference. And I know that's your heart as well as mine. It's not just my heart. Is it my heart only? No, it's not my heart only. I can't do everything, nor can my son, nor can my wife, nor can any of the leaders in this church. We as a church can do everything. We can make a difference. Amen. All right. This morning I want to speak to you. Sadly for Jerry, he's going to hear it a second time. I was praying about the message I would give at the church in Kagiso on Friday night. And I prepared the message on Wednesday because I know Friday is my day for preparing my message. And as I prepared it, I realized that the same message has got to be preached here. Partially because of what we've just come through. Our fast where we focused on spiritual warfare and the fact that we're going to take the city. But also because of what's going to happen once the revival starts producing its fruit. Because they start confessing that the revival's here. Who can confess the revival's here? If people are getting saved, the revival's here. Amen? Can I hear amen every time I've asked a question? Okay. If people are getting healed, the revival's here. If people's lives are changing, the revival's here. If we can sense God's presence like we have this morning, revival's here. What more is going to happen? Church, we need to lift our eyes up to the Lord and say, Lord, we're looking forward to what you're doing. We want more. Do you want more, church? Are you hungry, church? Amen. So this morning, I want to preach on totally devoted. Being totally devoted. If we are going to take the city, how are we going to do so unless we grow our church? Surely if we're taking the city, it's going to mean the church itself is going to grow. Because people are going to give their hearts to Jesus and they're going to need a place to be discipled in. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Okay, this is a teaching this morning, so it's not going to be me shouting at you unless I break loose. I'm also battling. I was sick in the week. I would like to add it's impossible for this church to grow unless we are also growing as individuals. If the church is going to grow, you and I need to grow. Our whole approach to serving the Lord is going to have to mature. Amen? I want to say it wants to get better. It's going to mature. The Word of God teaches us that we grow from glory to glory. We grow from faith to faith. We go in the Word of God from line upon line. We learn precept to precept. Do you understand that? Our God is a progressive God. And if we are going backwards as Christians, if we're not doing what we did at first, then effectively we're backsliding. But if we're growing, we're going forward, we're learning God's Word, we're becoming more effective, we're understanding the Word, we're able to apply it, and we're able to help people to grow. Amen. So that is what this is about this morning. And as I prayed about it, the Lord reminded me about the first church, the church in the book of Acts. And I want to highlight some of the things that happened. It's a well-known story if you go to read in Acts chapter 2. But I'll start a little bit from Acts chapter 1. Well-known story. There were some things that happened. And that was a growing church. I mean, can you imagine today you've got 120 people. Tomorrow you got 3,120 people. Just think about the logistics. Amen? So there's certain things we've got to understand if we're going to grow as a church. So let's go there. Turn to Acts. And chapter 2. It was so exciting. Imagine being in the church in those days. It was scary. It was scary what God was doing. Imagine you're in the church and Ananias walks in and he stands in front of Peter and he lies in front of Peter and then he says, well, you know, you've lied to the Holy Spirit. Cheers, you're gone, you're dead. Scary. Amen? As exciting as it was, the presence of God is not something to be taken for granted or to be mocked or to be not revered. It needs to be revered. There's no place for personal pride, no place for arrogance, no place for attitude. We've got to be surrendered to the Lord. It was explosive growth. And it was not just church growth. Those people, they grew. I want you to see that the two work in parallel. If the church is growing, the people are growing. And let me turn it around. If the people are growing, the church is growing. And hear an amen. It started with a supernatural visit. Acts 2 verse 1 to 4. Maybe I must lift this up. That sounded better. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. And one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there's two sets of four things that need to happen that I'm going to tell you about this morning. In the first four things that happened, we can see them here. Jesus appeared to them, and in the book of Acts 1, you hear of his last words to the church and his last instructions to them, and then he was taken up. What did he say to them to do? He said, you, I'm going to my Father, but you must go and wait for the promise. You must go and wait for the promise. He gave them an instruction. So the first thing that those 120 believers did, they were gathering in that house. What on earth is that? Oh, it's a cell phone. I thought it was coming over here. I didn't know my preaching was that bad. Are you live streaming somebody? No, I'm just joking. I'm trying to make it light. I just had to smile at the pastors. Anyway, all right. Where was I? All right, so you see, the first church was born out of obedience. The disciples were found in that upper room. Why were they there? Because Jesus said to them, go and wait for the promise. So the first of the four things we need to do if we want to experience a supernatural visit is we need to be obedient. God has told us, this is your year to take the city. And I'm so glad that people stood up in obedience. And yesterday, let me tell you, a lot of people stayed behind and prayed. A lot of people went out. When we got back here, the people were praying. Out in the parking lot, we could hear them praising and praying. It was phenomenal. The people are being obedient. We need to be obedient. Secondly, they were in one place and in one accord. There was unity. They were all sold on the same principle and the same concept. They said, Lord, we give our hearts to you, and I'm not going to go this way, and that one go that way, and we're going to have disagreements and arguments, and I'm going to get fed up, so I'm going to just do my own thing. They were in one accord. Let me tell you, church, if we are going to take this city, we're going to need to be in one accord. Jesus said, when they accused him of being on the devil's side, what did he say? A house divided against itself cannot stand. There's no ways that we will grow as a church or grow as individuals when there's division in our midst. Amen. Even a household, even in your marriage, you're never going to understand peace while there's division. You need a unity. You need a love. You need a oneness. You need to set aside your differences. And I don't know why I'm saying this. I'm going to tell you what I've told you before, the story about me and Cheryl's slippers in the bathroom and me being fed up with them and getting mad about them every time until one day I was sitting there. Can you believe it? On the throne. Okay, and the Lord put in my mind, what if Cheryl were no longer? Would you still be so upset about those slippers in the bathroom? And I realized, no, I'd much rather have those slippers in the bathroom than not have Cheryl. Amen. There cannot be division. You need to set your differences aside. It's the same as the church. The Lord planted you here. Everybody's got a home. Everybody's got a place where they feel this is home. The Lord planted you here. You need to be in unity with your brothers and sisters and with what God is doing in this body. But you also need to be in unity with the body of Christ. We cannot take the city for Christ on our own. We need the buy-in of the churches in the city. I like the amens. You're on the... Okay, so they were in one accord. They were obedient. And what were they doing? They were praying. If you want to grow as an individual, you need to spend time in prayer. If you want to grow as a church, you need to spend time in corporate prayer. They were in corporate prayer and the church was born in a mighty supernatural move of the Holy Spirit. But they were praying. They were in one accord. They were in unity. There wasn't one that's saying, I need to go do my shopping. No, I can't come out at night. It's dark. They were there. They were praying. They were praying. They were seeking God's face. It's important to pray. And that prayer is going to be a repeated point today. And then what was the other thing? Well, that was what they were doing. I don't know if I said that. They were all in one place. They were all gathered in the upper room. Amen? And I've spoken about this a number of times. There's a perception amongst believers that as long as I'm sitting watching my TV and I'm on TBN and I'm going to church any case because I'm getting God's word, that's good enough. No, it's not. It's not. You need the fellowship of the believers. You need to be in one place with your brothers and sisters. Because yeah, where the brethren are dwelling together in unity, Psalm 133, yeah, the Lord will release His anointing. Yeah, He can command His blessing. Yeah, it will be as though the oil is running down Aaron's beard. Yeah, you will get your touch. Yes, there will be a blessing. Cheryl and I sat this morning and we watched a TV preacher. We downloaded it on the iPad and we watched it in bed together. You need to grow. Feed yourself by all means. But you need to belong to a body and you need to gather with the believers in one place in unity and you need to pray. Can I hear an amen? That's my first 4 points. And then came the rushing mighty wind and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Those 4 things had to take place first. Don't tell me that you're going to sit in your prayer classes and God's going to bring revival. Revival involves more than one person. It involves a change in a community, in a country, in the world, in a town, in a household. You can't do it on your own. Amen. God can stir you up. He can put you on fire. You can grow. You can grow spiritually. But that's not revival. Revival happens when our Christianity touches another person and changes their life because of the strength and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. Can I hear an amen? Amen? And we need to pray together, church. We need to come together. We need to agree that we will do it. And we need to walk in obedience. Amen. So my first question to you today is if we want to see a supernatural move of God like they saw on the day of Pentecost where the Holy Spirit came and the people started speaking in tongues and Peter preached. A simple message. 3,000 people gave their hearts to Jesus. He said, repent and be baptized. 3,000 people. Are you willing to do those 4 things? Shall I repeat them again? Be obedient. Pray. Be together. Be in one accord. Be in unity. 4 things. Supernatural. Supernatural things can happen if we can agree about that. And then the church was born. And we get so excited that so many people gave their hearts to the Lord on that day. It's a phenomenal story. But think about this. Think about the logistics. I said it to you just now. Imagine if yesterday we went into town and all of a sudden this morning there were 5,000 people outside here. It would be fantastic. Where would we gather? Okay? Where would we park? Right? Think about this. Those people, many of them were Jews. But there were also Gentiles, okay, that come for the feast. Many of them didn't know about Christianity. Many of them had no clue. They understood Judaism. They understood the worship of foreign gods. Who was going to teach them? Who was going to disciple them? Who was going to help them to become Christians and have the one true belief. I don't want to say religion, because religion is a dead thing, okay? We need to have a relationship. Who was going to teach them? That was a problem, wasn't it? When we are taking the city, when the church wants to grow, we need to be ready to make disciples. And the pastor can't look after 3,000 people. The people need to take people by the hand, maybe 2, maybe 5, maybe 10, maybe 1, and say, come, let me lead you, let me teach you, let me help you. We've done it hugely successfully. I've seen how the Lord has brought people to us. We've walked a road with them. They even move on. But when they move on, they're solid, powerful, strong, believing Christians who can live a life of victory. So the first problem is, if God brings a supernatural move, we need to be ready. The second problem that happened was, those people, they were Jewish believers. Some of them may have been killed by their families. Others were chucked out. They said, go. All of their goods taken. They had nothing. They had nothing. So now you've got a second problem. Now you've got a lot of hungry Christians. How do you feed them? How do you clothe them? It's going to take a heart. It's going to take a heart of saying, I'll do what I need to do. If God brings the hungry in, if he brings those that need clothing in, I'll do what it takes. I'll feed them. I'll invite them to my table. And you'll see as I carry on with the word how important it is. So there's some things that are going to happen. If you have a supernatural move of the Spirit, things are going to happen. I sat next to, I've got no other way to put it, a homeless man, maybe you'd call it a drunk, maybe you'd call him a tramp, sat and spoke to him. I invited him here. I said, he was smoking while he was talking. Anyway, and I said, come, we'll give you a food pack. Come, just come. He says, I've got a place to sleep. I sleep on the street. I don't need something. He needs Jesus. I said, come, we'll give you some food. We can't have the hungry coming in and we ignore them. Say, go and be blessed. We can't do that. Acts 2 verse 42 to 47, it continues to say this. Here come the next 4 points. The 4 points that will help you to grow and help the church to grow. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs. Doesn't that speak about revival? Many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. That's a phenomenal piece of scripture. And I'm only going to use the top, but I just thought of something funny. So they sold their goods, and everybody had everything in common. Church, I just wish you would take hold of this one. Really, I really would like to have a Ferrari like those other guys driving. So please sell something so I can have a Ferrari. I'm just joking, eh? The next thing all over Facebook, the pastor at Christian Heritage encouraged us. And I'm going to have these guys visiting us and assessing what I'm preaching. That was a joke, okay? For the record, it's on record. It was a joke. All right. But sometimes that's what it takes, okay? Sometimes we might say, look, I don't really have the finances in my bank account. But yes, I've got some things. Maybe you've got a second car or a third car, and there's somebody who just can't work because they don't have transport. I'm just giving you ideas. Silly things. Clothes, food, that's easy. Those are the easy things. Money's easy. Money's a difficult one because you don't know what it's going to be used for. I generally like to give something, or if somebody needs money for something, I'd rather buy them the ticket that they need to go and travel somewhere rather than giving cash. Anyway, I get carried away. But if I go back to the first line, and they continued steadfastly, what does it mean to continue steadfastly? The other translations of the Bible, if you go and read some other translation, it says they devoted themselves. That's why I titled this message, Totally Devoted. They became devoted to those things. They continued in a steadfast manner. These things were important to them. They didn't waver in doing them. I'm just trying to translate steadfastly or devoted. They sold themselves out to doing these 4 things. What were the 4 things? The apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and the one we've already spoken about, prayer. 4 things. 4 things that the fledgling church committed itself steadfastly and faithfully to. They became totally devoted to those 4 things. The apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. Okay. I was looking, thinking, how many fingers have I got up? I can't even count anymore. What does it mean to be devoted? He has a little story. A little boy went to church one morning. When he got home, his mother said, "Did you enjoy church? What was your teacher like? Who was she?" And he said to her, "Well, I don't know who she was, but she must have been Jesus' granny or something." So the mother said, "Why?" "Well, that was all she spoke about all morning. She was devoted to Jesus." And church, what we speak about is what comes out of our mouths, our hearts. What comes out of your mouth is what your heart is full of. And what comes out of your mouth will say what you're devoted to. What are you totally devoted to this morning? Oh, do you speak about him all the time? Does he fill your heart? Amen. We do say yes, but let's be honest. Amen. I'm probing you here this morning. That question's got a little bit of a barb in it. Okay? What does come out of a mouth? Because it'll tell what you're totally devoted to. And if the wrong thing's coming out, that's okay, because we're going to fix it this morning. Can I hear an amen for that? I want to submit to you today that if we want to grow as individuals, as Christians, and if we want to grow the church, we need to become devoted to those four things: apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. What does it mean to be devoted to the apostles' doctrine? Well, the apostles' doctrine was what Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. So if you want to go and see what it is, you can go and read it. But really, it was the gospel message, wasn't it? I believe in Jesus Christ, who came. He was the promised Messiah to the Jewish people. He was crucified on the cross. He died. He bore my sin and shame. He rose on the third day. And then he ascended to heaven and right now seated at the right hand of the Father and interceding on my behalf. If you want to carry on so that the promise could come, the Holy Spirit, and he's in me now. Apostles' doctrine, simple. Amen? And you can lead somebody to Christ just with those words. I'm saved by grace through faith, that not of myself. It was the work Jesus did on the cross. All my sin has been paid. That's the apostles' doctrine. But I would like to expand it. You know, we're very privileged. We've got Bibles. We've got the Word of God in a book. I'd like to say we need to devote ourselves to the Word of God. How many of us have got dusty Bibles? How many of us have got Bibles that look totally unused? How many of us have read through our Bibles time and time again? They're marked up. They're written in. How many times have we been blessed? How many times have we grown? How many times has God given us answers as we've read the Word? How many times have we been encouraged? How many times has He given us the words to pray when we don't need to pray? How many times have we sensed the Lord's presence as we devote ourselves to a time of prayer? If you want to grow as a Christian church, you need to devote yourself to the apostles' doctrine. And as I've expanded it to God's Word, are you devoted to God's Word? Do you spend time? I don't know how many times I've said it over the last few times I've preached, that we need to have a quiet time, we need to spend time in God's Word, we need to draw near. If you do not, you're going to be deceived, because the Bible says in the end times, strong deception will come, and even some of the elite will be deceived. You need to know what God's Word says. Amen. And as a church, we need to devote ourselves to the Word. And Conrad, I'm so glad that you brought up the Bible school, because I thought I would do it now. Church, for too long, I know many of you have been to the Bible school, but there's lots of you that are coming to church. We are running an excellent Bible school in this church on a Tuesday night. It's a great Bible school, not because I'm involved in it. It's got great material, printed material. We go through the Word. Phenomenal teachings. There's lecturers that are committed to it. It's cheap. You need 400 and whatever, 50 rand a month. It's not that much. There's even people who will sponsor you if you can't afford it. We've got it. You know what? 99% of our Bible school attendees don't come to this church. I want to invite you, church. Conrad says it starts, the new term starts in the first week of June. But we've just started one, because we started one at the beginning of the year. If you come to us today, go to Dr. Shirley. We'll call her, because that's her role in the Bible school. She's the dean of our Bible school. Go to her. Speak to her. Say, I want to enroll. Young people, time to stop ananying and making excuses. And I'm calling a spade a spade. Time to come back to Bible school. Learn God's Word. Learn God's Word. And you always say, no, but I don't have the time. I can tell you, you do have the time. I was holding a high-level corporate job down. You know what I do? And it's kind of frowned on today. I would close my door at lunchtime, and that was when I would study. And I passed with distinction. And that was 20 years ago. Look where I am today. God can use you. This bias still in the UK. But I want to encourage you, come to Bible school. Sure, that was a long punt. All right. And those of you that are older, you can also come to Bible school. Maybe you want to come back to Bible school. It's good. All right. But we need to devote ourselves to God's Word. Have we been spending time in it? Is it important to us? Do you know that if God brings in 3,000 people here, and we are called to disciple them, we will be ill-prepared if we are not devoted to God's Word. Because what will we teach them? What we don't know, we'll teach them to spray doom in people's faces. Amen? The second thing is they were devoted, I'm going to have to move myself quickly because we're still going to have communion. Devoted to fellowship. They devoted themselves to fellowship. How important is this to our faith? God did not create us to be alone. You know, He created a woman to be with man because it wasn't good for a man to be alone. But He created us to be families, to be bodies, to be a part of a fellowship. He created us to join with other believers. We all need friends. It's just a basic human need to be accepted and to be part of a family, to be part of, you know, if you go back to Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you'll find it. Just think about it. We need to work together. We need to fellowship together. When there's two or three, we are far more able to achieve so much more. Think of when we have our breakfasts. And we'll cater for 80 to 100 people. Two of us can't do it. But the whole team just comes, and it just happens. And we manage to put down a phenomenal meal. And we can do that at a low price. And nobody bears too heavy a weight because we split the burden. We need to be in fellowship to help split the burden. What did Jesus say? Matthew 18, verse 19 to 20. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there in the midst of them. We need fellowship so that we can have God's presence. How many of us would like to experience God's presence? Amen. Think of the amazing times this morning, the praise and worship. I spoke about it. You need to be here to experience that. The people were together having fellowship when the church was born on Pentecost. Hebrews, this is the well-known scripture. Hebrews 10, verse 24 to 26. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So we've dealt with the fact that people forsake the assembling of ourselves together. They'll go shopping, they'll watch the TV channels, they'll go for entertainment, whatever. But there's more in this. Why do we need to come together? Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. It's in this setting that love and good works is stirred up. I can see my brother's need. I can see if I need to pray for them. I can stand up in authority and cast out demons. I can pray for the sick and see them healed. People can experience love. People who've been through a rough week and just need an arm around them. What's wrong today? I can see you, not yourself. Just a little bit of love. That's what we get when we come together. Good works. Let's bring some food for the hungry. Let's decide we're going to go together out into the streets. We're going to march for our city. But there's another one it says. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. I just spoke to you. The deception is going to grow greater. The world is going to become more ungodly. Life is going to be tough for Christians. We need encouragement. When you come together, it's a time for exhorting one another, building each other up. Don't you think that's how we grow as Christians? Don't you think that's how we will grow the church? If people come in here and say, that's a church where we get encouraged. That's a church where we experience love. That's a church where people actually care. And you're an amen. Have I been preaching too long? Is that why you've got so quiet? I'm trying to tell you about church growth and spiritual growth. Spending time together. Are we devoted to fellowship or have we neglected it? Are we seeing it as essential or non-essential? The early church was built on fellowship. They went as far as to sell their goods to help one another. When last did you sell something to help somebody? I don't know if I've ever had to do that. Would I do it? It's a question we need to ask ourselves. We were devoted to breaking bread. In the early church, breaking bread was more than just communion. If you think about it, those people in the Middle Eastern cultures, bread is a staple. Over here, it's pop. Okay? In the Far East, it would be rice. But in the Middle Eastern cultures, it's bread. I was preaching about it the other night. I think, I don't know if you, the Italian breads and the Greek breads, some of them are very hard and you're breaking out. I don't know if I want it. I prefer Sasco. Sasco Sam. All right. But they would break bread for a meal and they would drink wine. Those were kind of staples. Right? So they would break bread together. The first thing it meant was they were eating together. They were having meals together. Now remember, I explained to you a great reason for eating together was that there were those that were cast out. They had nowhere to go. They had no food. They had nobody looking. So they would share. They would share their meals with one another. The second one, of course, is what Jesus instituted when he brought in the act of communion. The breaking of bread in remembrance of him, and the wine represented his body. Incredibly important. Both are important to us. If we share fellowship, we're building one another up. We're meeting needs. If we share communion, we're acknowledging Jesus Christ. We're declaring who we are. We're declaring our trust and our faith in the blood of Jesus Christ and his body broken for us. We're declaring our faith. We're saying what we believe. Both are incredibly important for the growth of the church. There's an incredible blessing that comes from sitting across from another believer and sharing a meal. We share a camaraderie. Have you ever invited somebody for a meal at your home? Somebody from the church? The next Sunday, when you see them, don't you feel a special bond with them? It's how the church grows. It's how love grows in the church. I've seen it. We've started doing it on a Friday night. We'll invite one or two couples to the house for a meal. Just so we can have fellowship. Yes, you'll also get an invite. There's just too many people to invite you all at the same time. So don't think I'm ignoring you and putting others forward. It doesn't work like that. When last did you invite somebody from the church? I can tell you, Cheryl and I, as young believers, we traveled from Fairlands. We traveled far to come to church, but we felt this was where we belonged. There were people in this church, older than us. We didn't know them. We'd go and have a meal with them on a Sunday. We'd come back after the meal to church. It's one of the reasons we're standing here today. It's one of the reasons we found roots in this church, because people cared for us. People cared. They said, and of course, how can you discount the amazing, amazing, amazing blessings of the privilege of communion? I want to encourage you. When last did you invite somebody around? Do it. Find somebody. Maybe you just greeted them. Invite them for a meal. Get to know them. And then I want to encourage you to start taking communion more often. You know what Paul said? Or Jesus said, as often as you do this. Not as seldom as you do this. Let's start taking communion more often. That's why we're doing it this morning. It's not the first Sunday of the month. It's the second Sunday. It doesn't matter. We took communion last Sunday night. What are we going to do? Do it at home too. They were devoted to prayer. I don't even think I need to go on about prayer, but prayer keeps our hearts and our minds on God. And there's an example. Do you know, let's say you get a new car, a nice new Marcos Blue, so we'll call it a blue car. All of a sudden when you're driving down the road, you notice every other car that's like yours, that's the same color. You notice somebody that's got a blue car, that's another car. I've got a metallic blue car, so you notice all the other metallic blue cars and you compare them. When you start becoming aware of something, you take more notice of it. Have you noticed that? How many can I count? When we start being devoted to prayer, you know what we're going to do? We're going to become more aware of God and how he's moving in our lives and how he's answering prayers and how he's ministering, and it's going to build our faith, because God's busy all the time, church. Every one of us can stand up and testify to something God's done for us this week, whether it's the fact that we woke up with breath in our lungs this morning, whether we missed an accident on the way to church, whether we ate, whether we got a roof over our head, whether he blessed us out on the street yesterday. But as you pray, you become more focused on God and you're able to see what he's busy doing in your life. And that will help you to grow. And as I said earlier, as we start to pray together, it will help the church to grow. Amen. Is this sinking in? This is simple stuff. I mean, it's not like I've pulled out this highly intellectual sermon. And I've got great revelation. This is simple stuff. Why was this devotion so important to the early church? Because they'd experienced the saving grace of God. They had experienced something that they hadn't experienced. Remember, in the time of Christ, there hadn't been a prophetic word for 400 years. The church was dead. It was just religion. The Jewish, it wasn't the church, the synagogue. There was no life in it. These people experienced life. They experienced life-changing things. They spoke in tongues. They saw the dead being raised. They saw people being healed, the blind's eyes being opened, the mute speaking, and demons fleeing. That is why they became devoted. They experienced the reality of the promise of the hope of resurrection, because they knew Jesus died. Some of them witnessed it, and they saw him ascend to heaven. They knew it was real. And you know what it said? It resulted in this. The people had glad and generous hearts. They praised God, and God added daily to their number those who were being saved. Isn't that amazing? God added daily to their number those who were being saved. Church, if God were to add daily to our number such as we're being saved, I said it last week, if seven of us, or if each of us just managed to get, each cell group just managed to get one person in here, we'd already have seven more people next week. And the following week, seven more. So it's 14 more in 2 weeks. God can fill this church overnight. He really can, because he's God. But we, if we want to grow as a church, if we want to grow as individuals, we've got to do those four things. Dedicate ourselves. Be totally devoted to the apostles' doctrine, God's word. Do fellowship together, coming to church together, having meals together, to breaking of bread, eating together, and communion, and to pray. Those four things. What were the four things that we needed to do to get a supernatural move? We need to be obedient. We need to have unity. We need to be in one place, and we need to pray. If we can do those eight simple things, we can have a supernatural move of the Spirit of God in this place. We can have a church that's growing, and we can be people of God that are growing. And we will make a difference. We will change, and we will change the people around us. Not because of who we are, but because of the God we serve. The one that's alive in us, that's stirring us up in our spirit. Who would like to be part of that? Can I see a show of hands? Amen. Simple message. I don't even think it was that dynamic. But God wants to speak to his people. He wants you to grow.